It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate, live on location at Ingles Markets in Seneca, South Carolina, rolling on until 7 p.m. Folks, Ingles Markets, all I can tell you, man, is I've never seen a grocery store like Ingles. There is no grocery store in existence that is more football-friendly than Ingles Markets. All right, they've got your shrimp platters, they've got your sub platters, they have got your barbecue platters, pizza platters, wing platters. They've got them all right in front of us right here. We've got cookie platters. Alyssa, what kind of cookies in there? It looks like peanut butter cookies, oatmeal raisin cookies, chocolate chunk cookies, white chocolate cookies. Good gosh, macadamia nut cookies are up in here. We've got the pimento cheese sandwiches. I will not let Lonzo speak badly about pimento cheese sandwiches. And we've got the chicken wings with ranch, your fruit platters as well. I will tell you what. This is the most football-friendly grocery store in existence. And you know, even if you're not tailgating in this pandemic area, you're watching the game at home with your family. They've got you set up. You walk right in. You get what you want. You go out. It is so easy. It is so convenient. And it is so very delicious. Here's how you guys can be a part of the show. You can give us a call at 1-844-477-3776. That number again is 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number. The text line is there for you at 71307. Just put ESPN in the body of your text and then rock that sexy body. You can get to us on Twitter at ESPN Upstate, where if you follow us, we will get to your tweets live and on the air. And we'll give you a personal shout-out at ESPN Upstate. Click that little blue follow button. You can follow me at Mark Ryan on Air. That's at M-A-R-C Ryan on Air. You can follow Lonzo at Lonzo on Word. And finally, you can email the show, Mark Ryan, M-A-R-C Ryan, at ESPNUpstate.com. All of the different ways you can get in touch with us here on the show. We've been having some fun with the question of the day. What's something that feels like a sport but isn't a sport? Let me see here. I had one from the Madre that was coming in here. She says chess is a sport. See, she's been watching The Queen's Gambit on Netflix. I'm recommending this to everyone. It is the best watch. You seen it, Queen's Gambit? Yeah, Alyssa's seen it. She's given the thumbs up. Lonzo, if Lonzo doesn't like the way something sounds, he doesn't even give it a shot. There's no way to make it sound
interesting. By the way, I disagree with you there, because The Queen's Gambit actually was the name of the ship on Arrow that went down. So, I mean, so right away I'm thinking, okay, is this related to the Arrowverse or DC in some way, which it's not, because then you described it, and it sounded like a chick flick, so no thanks.
It's not a chick flick. It's not a chick flick at all. But there's no way you can describe it that makes it sound interesting. It's just the best watch on Netflix right now, if you are interested. All right. A texter says, Mark, trying to get to OO on the gas pump is definitely a sport. How many of us do that? Every single time, do you have to end up on a whole number? Every single time. Like, I wait till the gas pump is done, and I did this today coming out here to Seneca. I wait till it's done, and then I'm like, nope, I got to end on the whole number here. 2477 just won't do. It's got to be a flat 25. Let's see here. Josh is giving me Buster Keaton, great train escape movie vibes from the silent films era. A texter says, finding as many ways I can to anger my mother-in-law is a sport. That is absolutely a sport. Dodging your girl's attempted affection advances, like Philip Rivers in the pocket. See, the unfortunate thing, Panda, is Philip Rivers has never dodged his wife's advances. As evidenced by the size of their family. Let's get to Anonymous, who is up next on the show. Anonymous, beautiful name. How are you today, sir? What is something that feels like a sport that actually isn't?
Well, I actually called about a compliment that actually wasn't.
Okay.
So I'm on my way home for a meatloaf dinner, and I'm going to tell my wife that her meatloaf is better than her mother's.
Why is that not really a compliment, Anonymous?
Well, you know, I mean, I guess at its roots, it's hers is better than her mother's, but it's still not great, you know. But
I got you. I got you. All right, man. Thanks so much for the call. Thanks so much for the call. Let's see here. All right. It is time to do that jam. To do that jam, we call the top five at five. The top five biggest sports stories of the day. The top five topics we are discussing, the top five at five, starts right now.
Pimento cheese, really? I mean, because it's kind
of... Stop calling it pimento, Lonzo. It's delicious.
It's absolutely delicious.
It's
like snot on a sandwich.
They might as well call it piment, yes. Okay? Hit it. All right. At number five today. Boy, we did not expect to have such an intriguing battle, 1 through 4, in the ACC this year, did we? Did not expect to have that, but here we are. Notre Dame's in first place unbeaten. Clemson's in second with one loss. Miami is in third with one loss, but they lost the tiebreaker to Clemson in the head-to-head. And we have North Carolina with two losses sitting there at 6-2. So riddle me this, Upstate. How does the 1 through 4 finish in the ACC? How does that little race finish? I'll go Clemson 1, Notre Dame 2, Miami 3, and North Carolina 4. And I'm fascinated with this. I'm bummed that Miami and Notre Dame don't play each other, but we get Notre Dame-North Carolina this week. This week, North Carolina, Notre Dame, very, very, very excited about that. Battle for 1 to 4 in the ACC. No longer the All Cupcakes Conference this year. How do you guys see it shaken out? Next up. What are the characteristics of a great hire for the South Carolina Gamecocks? What do you want in a person, right? I used to sell management development training programs, and what we found is that what companies look for are skills. Right? They say they're looking for skills. I want somebody that has this certification. I want somebody that does this. But then when you ask them to hire their replacement, if they were getting promoted, what they tell you, 85% of what they tell you are attitude-based. Okay? Attitude-based traits and attributes, so on and so forth. So what characteristics are you looking for in a hire for the Gamecocks? Number one, people like being around them. Number two, incredible leadership ability. Number three, a uniter, somebody that brings people together. Number four, something that Will Muschamp definitively did not possess, being able to adjust on the fly. Number five, you have to be able to sell your ideas. Do people buy in to what you're selling? You know, we're all salespeople, whether you believe it or not, whether you work in sales or not. You go home, does your wife buy the ideas that you're selling for the weekend? Does your wife buy the ideas that you're selling for the evening? We're all in sales. Are the people buying what you're selling or not? What did you not hear in terms of the characteristics that I'm looking for in the next Gamecocks head coach? You didn't hear anything about offensive-minded. You didn't hear anything about defensive-minded. The right leader is going to put the right people in place at the coordinator positions, and that is not going to be an issue. Next up, at number three, with the number three overall pick last night in the NBA draft, the Charlotte Hornets stepped to the podium, and this happened.
With the third pick in the 2020 NBA draft, the Charlotte Hornets select LaMelo Ball from Chino Hills, California.
Yeah, LaMelo Ball is a Charlotte Hornet player right now. So here's the thing. Charlotte has not had any buzz. Hornets, pun intended. They've not had any buzz for quite some time. They have not been relevant. I don't know if LaMelo Ball, I have no idea if LaMelo Ball is the best player in this draft. I have no idea if he's going to be a great pro. I can tell you he scored 96 points in a high school game. I can tell you he's got range from Seneca to Charlotte. As soon as he steps into the gym, he can make a shot. I can tell you that the ball name brings with it, if not production, then at least some cachet to it. Maybe it's full of sound and fury signifying nothing, but it could be something pretty good. I do know today that the Charlotte Hornets are interesting and they're relevant. They may not be good, but they are interesting and relevant, and I think, therefore, the pick of LaMelo Ball is absolutely positively the best pick for the Charlotte Hornets moving forward. Next up, McGregor versus Poirier. Lonzo, take it away.
Wow, way to just throw that at me. Looking forward to this because it looked like McGregor had retired like two or three times. The fact that he's back in the UFC needs this right now. Doesn't matter who his opponent is. With football going on, this is an exciting thing. This will get people to buy pay-per-views. Again, doesn't matter who he's fighting, although it will be a good fight. Glad to have Conor back in the UFC.
And you think he wins this one?
I do. And even if he doesn't, as long as it's a good showing and a good build-up to the fight, it'll get people back to paying attention to the UFC in the middle of football season.
And finally, all right, folks, we've been having a lot of fun with this today. What's something that feels like a sport but is not? Lonzo said beating Siri on the way home, beating the GPS. You get in the car, it says, you'll arrive home at 7:43. Lonzo's like, I'm going to beat that son of a gun. And he tries to beat it more times than not. A little APB out to the officers in the area as Lonzo's driving by trying to beat the GPS. What percentage of the time would you say you win that bet, Lonzo?
I would say that I beat it every single time.
He beats it every single time.
I beat my time every single time.
Yeah, I have said team one trip with the groceries. I will have you be able to saw off. I will lose fingers to lack of circulation. I am so determined to get all of my groceries up in one trip. If a bag breaks, I lose. If a bag falls out of my hand, I lose. If I just can't do it, I lose. I got to get them up 20 stairs. Okay, 24 packs of water included. All right, I've had the 24 pack of water under an arm, and then I've had both hands filled with like 8 bags before, trying to get everything up the stairs in one trip. I also would say the dating game is something that feels like a sport. You never really know what to do and when. Everybody's different. Every woman is different. Does she want you to call her now or later? Text her now or later? Make a move to kiss her now or later? Invite her over to your house now or later? You know, there's consequences to each and every action. What's behind door number 3? You just don't know. Thad Fox tweets into the show. He says, man, mowing perfectly straight lines in your yard, or in this case, a field. Thad, that looks beautiful, man. That looks absolutely beautiful. I want to go have a picnic on that grass right now, catch a line drive. Let's see here. Cole Bryson says, are boneless wings really wings? A sport, not a sport that is feels like a sport. Johnny Roebuck agrees with me, making one trip from the car to the house with all the groceries from Ingles Markets. And Rob Brown says, also, throwing drinks at people who leave their shopping carts next to where their car was parked when they are done loading up is something that feels like a sport that is not really a sport. Texter says, trying to beat the GPS in time is an extreme sport. At ESPN Upstate, what feels like a sport to me that's not is trying to park at a gas station as close as close to the Ballard poles as I can without touching them or crashing into them. That's not healthy, man. I don't think that's a healthy habit that you have here. By the way, my mom texted in, and she says, finding something you've lost and been trying to find for days is a sport. Lonzo, my mom could lose a paperclip, and she will spend the next 6 days trying to find that thing. I've seen her do it.
You know what I call that? I call that determination, and I'm not surprised that, I mean, your mom is good like that, man.
Yeah, she is. Mom has like 8 pairs of scissors, and if she can't find all 8, the next 6 days will be spent finding where the 8th pair of scissors went, where it walked off to. Anyway, all right, from fun to a little bit more serious. When we come back here on the show, Rachel Barbeau is going to join us. She has a close personal relationship with Hugh Freeze, now the coach of Liberty. I said I wouldn't hire him. She said I was being judgmental. Can she change my mind for the Gamecocks? That is next, right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan. We are ESPN Upstate. All right, so my dream candidate for the South Carolina Gamecocks is Brent Venables, defensive coordinator of Clemson. My realistic candidate is Billy Napier. The Vegas odds for this position, they have two guys right there in the lead, Billy Napier and Hugh Freeze. So earlier this week, Tuesday morning, I went to Twitter and I said Hugh Freeze would be a C hire for me, C grade. A, B, C, D, F, C. I believe in second chances, but I have a hard time believing he's doing things on the up and up given the track record. And presenting a false front as to who you are, telling us you're one thing, posting Bible verses on Twitter, and then doing the opposite, soliciting escorts from a company phone, is persona non grata to me. I'm not interested, can't do it, and I can't move forward with it. My friend Rachel Barbeau, who joined us in this very time slot last week, responded with the following tweet to me. She said, I love you, Mark, but this is incredibly judgmental of you. Hugh Freeze failed spectacularly, and he owned it. He broke his family's heart, and only by the grace of God are they all thriving and happy. He lost his dream job, and it was all his own doing, but grace is a beautiful thing. Here's my struggle with this, and I've had a conversation with this given what Rachel Barbeau said in the exchange that we have. You know, friends and I feel like when you're over 40, you kind of are who you are at that point. So I'd like to believe in rehabilitation. I'd like, as a Christian man, to believe in forgiveness. But I have an issue here because, you know, romantically, if you're a good person, you can only pick one person. Ray Tanner, athletic director of South Carolina, can only pick one person to be the head coach of the Gamecocks. And I would have a hard time making that person Hugh Freeze. Joining us right now, as I mentioned, my friend Rachel Barbeau. Rachel, so good to catch up with you. Can we start, Rachel, with this? Can you share with us your relationship with Hugh Freeze, how you came to know one another, and how the friendship that you have with him was built? Good afternoon, friend.
Yes. Yeah, good afternoon, friend. First of all, and we can discuss this later, I have to tell you, I completely disagree about life after 40, because I'm 41, and I am learning things in therapy about myself. I am about to get ready to be a wife and a mama, and I am learning more and more open and hungry to life than I ever was at any other age in my life. So I think that's a kind of a self thing, a you thing. So I would just say I disagree with that. But back to your question, and you can rebut me later because we do this respectfully to each other. But back to your question, when I first started I'm Changing the Narrative, I had known Hugh just media-wise. You know, he's on Twitter. I'd known him for my days at SiriusXM, wasn't really like, you know, a close friend or anything, but I was a friend, and he had some friends that worked that he had known that own, I think, a furniture store, and I was at a golf tournament with them. Well, I ended up, we planned it, I ended up leaving that golf tournament, and it was the spring of 2017, and going and speaking at Ole Miss. They were probably like my fifth, third, fourth, somewhere around in their school for I'm Changing the Narrative. And I spent time with Hugh and Jill that night, and this, you know, this friendship ensued. And, you know, it as it often does. I mean, sometimes when I do these talks, there are you know, the coach isn't there. The coach isn't there. You know, they take a picture with you and they're gone. Sometimes you do go to dinner and you have these relationships and you meet the wife and you meet those people. And same thing with Heather and PJ Fleck. You know, this does happen. And so this relationship ensued, and then, you know, friendship, I should say. And, you know, I watched what was happening and what happened. And I was also writing at the time for Gridiron Now. And being a person of faith, I remember asking him while this was all unfolding, hey, when you're ready to talk about this, when you and Jill are ready to talk about this, I want to be the person. I want to help you. And the craziest part of it was, is I went back. I was there when the interim Matt Luke was there, and he brought me in for a day just to consult. I could not believe it. I mean, here I am, like, I've just started. I'm changing the narrative, Mark. And, you know, Matt Luke's saying, spend the day with me. Tell me about, you know, how I should do this and how I should do that. And I'm like, I'm pinching myself in the corner going, what? So when I was leaving that day, because Hugh is my friend, and because Jill is my friend, and because I don't turn my back on people, I said, hey, I'm here, you know, in your town. And I remember going and sitting with them and in their living room, and he told me everything. And they held hands, and he cried, and tears in her eyes, and he's watching film when I come in, and he's broken. He's absolutely broken. And I said, listen, I'm your friend first, but I do also write for this outfit, and I would love to write about this, and you know you can trust me, so would you let me write this when it's time? And so, you know, I started to write. I left that day and I started to write, and then I sent it to him. And, you know, of course, I wanted to be thoughtful. Jill was in it. Nobody else was going to have Jill in it. They had reporters kind of beating down their door at that time and calling them. And then, you know, it was because it was such a touchy time and what was going on with Ole Miss, I had to get involved with Jimmy Sexton, his agent. And finally, they did let me write it. And I was the first one that wrote the article with Hugh's comments and with Jill's comments. And I further earned their trust during that time. And same thing I said to you, Mark, if somebody was disparaging you or just had their opinions about you on social media, I would do the exact same thing for you, my friend. And so I'm glad that we're having this conversation.
Well, I am as well. So it sounds like your interaction with Hugh was right around the time when all of this was coming to light. I mean, you're meeting him, you're working with him, and, I remember thinking, Rachel, when this was going on, boy, Rachel's got a great relationship with Hugh Freeze. And then shortly after I remember thinking that, I remember this bomb dropped about him. And you know, you had a choice right there. You were at a little bit of a fork in the road. Certainly some people in your position, Rachel, would have distanced themselves as far from Hugh Freeze as possible. You did the opposite.
You're going to make me cry. That's what I do. I run to trouble instead of away from trouble. I teach people that in my movement. I've done it my whole life. My mama did it. My grandmother did it. My dad did it. They're all in heaven. And I run to trouble instead of away from trouble. It's why I've been in touch with LSU this week. You know, a lot of people would turn back on institutions and people when they fall down. I, as somebody who's been a former gutter dweller myself and done it to myself, and people have helped me, I just run to trouble. And, you know, it was a fine line for me, because I wanted to write the article, and my editors knew I had the relationship and they wanted me to write the article, but I had this friendship and I was going to hold that above everything. And I had to do that. And yes, I knew him, I guess it was about a year before. You know, I spoke in 2017, spring of 2017. And I don't know the exact date when this all went down and when Matt was the interim, but I was there again when Matt was the interim. And that's when I visited with you. And yeah, you know, it was horrific. And one thing he told me, and it was in the article, is he said, and I'm not quoting it exactly, basically he tripped. This is the line I use. He tripped on his own glory. That's what he told me. I tripped on my own glory. The winning happened too fast. The success happened too fast. There was too much around me, and I tripped and I fell and I broke my family's heart. And I did it. I did this to my family, right? And he fell spectacularly. And he's gotten up and he's dusted himself off. And through grace and through faith and through the love of his family, he is where he is today. But he admitted that to me. He said it all was intoxicating, right? All the success that happened so quickly. And, you know, that was the line. He tripped on his own glory.
Rachel, do you have the time for us to do one more segment with you today?
Sure. Of course.
I would
love
to do one more segment with you. I'm going to share with you guys what, in my opinion, is the worst thing, the worst action I've ever done in my life. Okay? I'll share that with you next here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. All right, so on the most interactive sports radio show in the Upstate, you guys know you send the texts, I read the texts. I'm going to read what you guys are sending in right now. First texter said, Mark, the dude was banging hookers. Who the hell cares? Oy. Next texter says, Mark, I agree with you. Forgiveness is one thing. Trust is another. You can forgive someone without at the same time putting them back in a position of power. Next texter says, I love Rachel as much as anyone, but Hugh Freeze pulled the whole roll of wool over her eyes. When people show you who they are, believe them. That comes from Danny. And then another texter says, you can forgive someone, but also be unloving by putting them back in a position where they failed previously. Rachel, I come from an unbelievable family, and you can probably vouch for this. When you and I worked together, I was 36, Rachel. I probably looked like I was 19, okay? I probably looked much younger than my age. When I was growing up, Rachel, I was bullied a lot. The end of my freshman year of high school, I was 5'3" and I weighed 103 pounds. I was pushed down the stairs. I was book dropped. All my papers going everywhere in a crowded hallway. I was punched. I was bullied a lot. So anyway, one day, Rachel, I was determined to flip that script. I wanted to see what it felt like to be on the other side of that. And I chased some kids on their bikes when I got off the school bus. And I was throwing stuff at them. I think I was throwing oranges at them, and I was chasing them. And you better pedal faster than that. And I consider that to be the worst thing I've ever done in my life because it is so antithetical to who I want myself to be. There is still a mother probably in my neighborhood that hates my guts, and I would probably, as a result of that action, never be president of any homeowners association meeting in the neighborhood that my parents grew up in. Right?
Let me pause you. No. Is that the worst thing you ever did?
Ever done.
What? Like, that's the worst thing you've ever done?
I think that's the worst thing I've ever done, Rachel. I bullied some kids.
Saint.
Rachel, I might have been throwing rocks at kids on bikes.
You know what? At some point, you get bullied and beat down so badly, and I'm not taking up for what you did, but I'm saying at some point you get bullied and beat up so badly that you can't help but fight back. You can't help but say, hey, you're not big bully. You're not going to bully me anymore. So if that's the worst, man, I thought you were about to drop something crazy on us, Mark. You're a saint.
Rachel, here's the thing. I wasn't trying to get even with the bullies. I was bullying kids that were much younger than me. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, so like, I get it now. So you were bullied, so you were angry, so then you were turning around and bullying other people.
Yeah, so that's, I was like 14, 15. I was like 14, 15, and I'm chasing kids on bikes that are like 7 and 8 and throwing rocks at them, you know?
I did the same thing. So I was bullied. I was dark-skinned, weird last name, you know, looked different and moved to Pell City, Alabama when I was like 11, right? I was bullied. And so I remember then I finally got in the cool kids, and then they were bullying some girls, and I went along with it. And then as I got older, I remember like our first reunion, I went back to those girls. It was before then too, but at the first reunion I had, I went back and said, I apologize again. Yeah, I know I apologized when we were in high school, but I apologize again. I thought the cool girls were awesome, and I want to be a part of the cool girls. So then I was picking on you, and I was the very one that was picked on just a few years before that. And so I get that, and again, that's in the grand scheme of things, you're good, Mark. And what I want to say to your texters is, man, I guess you've never failed royally. But coming from a royal screw-up, which I am, and God, I thank God my faith has put me back up, set me back up, and I know I'm imperfect. I guess your texters have never failed royally. He just happens to have a public job. He publicly failed. And guess what? if you don't want him, somebody else is going to get him, and they're going to win because he wanted Liberty. He wanted Ole Miss. He wanted at his other. If you don't want him, that's fine.
Rachel, if you're a royal, if you're a royal screw up, there's no hope for any of us. Okay, if you're a royal screw up, given all the good that you do for everybody. All right.
I used to be an absolute royal screw up, my friend. I say God took me from the guttermost to the uttermost, man. So all I'm saying is that's okay to feel that way. I would just, and it's the same thing I said to you, man. You got to look in the mirror and go, have I not ever, and you know, so a lot of times our failures, they're not on display. Like me used to be a sportscaster or, you know, or Hugh being a football coach. You get to deal with your failures within your family or privately. His were plastered on, and he brought it on himself. He admitted it, brought it on himself, broke his wife's heart, broke his family's heart. He did it. And so South Carolina fans, if he takes that job, the ones that can't get past, he didn't do it to you. So you get over it. He didn't do it to you or to your fan base. You're not the wife. Get over it. The guy's a winner. He's paid his penance. He got, you know, Greg Sankey, I think it was, you know, it's pretty widely known, blocked him from a couple of jobs, you know, within the SEC. He went on to Liberty, and he's winning at Liberty. And I mean, and what do you need at South Carolina? You need an offensive mind. That's what you need. You can't have another defensive mind, in my opinion. Is Billy Napier another good one? Heck yeah, he is. That's another one of my changing the narrative teams. Hot, young, energetic, amazing coach who the players play for. But again, if they don't want to get over it, that's okay. He'll end up going somewhere else because another job will open, another big one will open, and he'll take that one if not.
Rachel Barbeau joining us, owner, founder of Changing the Narrative. She goes inside football programs and does an amazing job speaking to young men and helping to mold young men and steering them in the right direction when not all of them came from good backgrounds. Rachel,
yep.
So for me, here's the issue. And I think, yeah. Rachel, you know, so my question to you is, can you understand how one would be hesitant to put their neck on the line for him?
Absolutely.
As an athletic director, director, Rachel, you know, if you fail with a head coaching hire, it's a lot like it is for an NFL head coach when you fail with a number one overall draft pick.
Absolutely.
Your future is tied to that draft pick. If I can only pick one, Rachel, if I can only pick one, with the lessons that life has taught me that the greatest predictor of future behavior is past behavior, it's hard for me to stick my neck out for that guy. What am I missing?
And guess what? No, you're right. That's human nature. You're right. All I'm saying is if Ray Tanner decides not to do that, right, somebody else will stick their neck out. We know that. America is a land of second chances. Somebody else will stick their neck out. And they will put their neck out on the line for Hugh Freeze. They will. And they'll win. And if Ray Tanner decides not to do that, that's okay. Because he's got to think about his future, his fans, his donors. He's got to think about the people that are stroking the check. What's the appetite for the people that are stroking the check? Are they okay with putting their neck out for Hugh Freeze? I mean, he's got to think about all those things, right? But, you know, South Carolina is a desirable job. And so facilities, fan base, rabid fan base, loyal fan base, y'all been through a lot. So he's got to figure that out, and I totally understand. I'm just talking about from a pure perspective of a winner. He told me one time, too, about how he develops his quarterbacks and how, like, there's three planes on the field. There's, like, three fields post-snap that he can play on, that the quarterback can play on, and he's got to teach the quarterback which plane, like which part of the field he needs to play on. I mean, it's pretty awesome, his offensive mind. So again, I understand, but I just am one of those people. And yes, I do have a deep relationship with the two of them. So I'm biased towards it. But what I'm saying to South Carolina fans is, if you don't want to ride that train, you know, that was a bad analogy, but if you don't want to get behind him, somebody else is going to get behind him, and somebody else is going to hire him. And that's it. And, again, the two names that you mentioned that are popping up, they're both fantastic names. And you talk about the AD role, man. I'm friends with the AD over at Louisiana Lafayette, and I know you talk about Ray Tanner. I know what they're going through, thinking hot young coach, successful here. So they're on the opposite end of what Ray Tanner's dealing with, of trying to keep their guy, you know, and same thing at Liberty. So.
Rachel Barbeau, owner, founder of I'm Changing the Narrative. She does just such an amazing job for programs throughout America. Rachel, what's the next school you're going to?
I just finished up Vanderbilt. I am in talks. I don't want to jinx it, but I say you can't jinx what God has sent you. But I'm in talks to go back to Clemson. And I am super duper excited about that because they were the second ever school that I spoke to. And I spoke to them 17 days before they dismantled Ohio State en route to a national championship. And the coolest thing happened, I gave them these, at the time I didn't know they were rinky dink, but I gave them these rinky dink bracelets that said Changing the Narrative. And turns out they were so cheap that like they rubbed right off, but they were all wearing them. And I was working for the college football playoff at the time, and down in Tampa, you know, it's after the game, and I'm thinking, you know, I'd spoken to them, but I'm thinking, you know, they don't remember that, or they remember it, but, you know, whatever, they're celebrating, and all of a sudden, all the coaches are, like, screaming and, like, high-fiving me, and the players are like, it's a Changing the Narrative, lady! We did it! We changed the narrative! And Deshaun Watson comes by and hugs me, and so we're in talks with Clemson, and, you know, I've been in touch with LSU. Again, run to trouble instead of away from trouble. You need help. I've been there before. I've been there multiple times. And you know you're not always going to get to everybody, but you need help. And instead of leaving people in the lurch and when they need you the most, I'm the one running to you instead of away from you.
Rachel, if that happens, if you're back here in Clemson, can we please catch up over lunch?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It would be great to catch up with you. Thanks so much for joining us again today.
Thanks, friend.
All right, you be well. Rachel Barbeau, the one and only Rachel Barbeau, joining us here on Offsides ESPN Upstate. Back with more after this. It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate, live on location at Ingalls Markets in beautiful Seneca, South Carolina, rolling on until 7 p.m. this evening. All right, it is time for that jam that we call the best thing we heard today. Lonzo, what do you got?
You know, I can't go by without listening to Josh Pate again. He is very inspirational, so let's hear what Josh had to say.
How do you get history? You make history. That's the only way. Clemson wasn't what they are now until they were. All they had to change was everything about themselves, essentially. But the thing about it is, they made history. That's how you get history. That's how you fill the trophy case. You got to make history, then you get the history, then you can sell the history. At some point, everybody had no history. Florida State under Bobby Bowden before Bowden got there, no history. Like, what was Miami prior to Schnellenberger and then the company after him that came in there? What were they? They were nothing. What was Clemson historically on the national landscape before Dabo Swinney did what he's done there? Really not much of anything to write home about. And so Carolina hasn't had that. They haven't had that period. I'm not going to be the one to say they can't do it. It certainly would shock the world if they were to be able to elevate that program to the top tier. All it takes is one right candidate.
The words of Josh Pate on what South Carolina needs to look for with the next candidate. Booger McFarland, my former co-host, says the following. South Carolina needs someone that can run a program, recruit, and give the program an identity, not just call plays. I'll say it again, he says, just because you can scheme up cover three does not make you a head coach. So what characteristics, traits, and attributes do you want in the Gamecocks' next head coach? That's next. This is Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate.